One thing not mentioned at all during last night's vice presidential debate, Ukraine. I found that interesting, and I'm sure Joseph Lindsley did, too. He is in Ukraine. Joe, the debate went on live middle of the night your time, but what did you hear about it?
Bob, indeed. I had to triple check that because I was quite astounded that Ukraine never came up for two reasons. One, you know, J.D. Vance, Senator Vance, Trump's VP candidate, has been very critical of Ukraine. He said many things that are just not accurate about Ukraine. And then Vice President Harris has spoken, she gave a strong speech, for example, last week next to President Zelensky about Ukraine. But there's a burning question that not a single reporter has asked her. Is she going to carry on Joe Biden's policy of restricting Ukraine from firing back and sort of the slow trickle of weapons? Or will she change that policy? And so, and you know, it's even more mystifying that in his recent criticism, in his recent campaign speeches, President Trump he said Ukraine is gone and all hope is lost, and he said Ukraine does not know what to do. But and it's amazing that our press entirely misses this very curious question. Trump is saying Ukraine doesn't know what to do. But Ukrainians and almost every European leader who keenly cares about this is saying Ukraine knows what to do. They need to fire back. They need with precision weapons, the weapons that America promised them, and even the weapons that European countries are trying to give to Ukraine, like the United Kingdom is trying to give to Ukraine for Ukraine to hit on Russian soil. It is Washington that is holding that process up. It is the Biden administration that's holding that process up. And you would think, if you're the opponent of Biden, you would use that against him. But instead, there's this sort of, it seems on both sides, sort of reluctance to seriously address what's happening here. And what makes that even more disturbing, I think, if you're physically here in Ukraine, you know, last night there was the major Iranian assault upon Israel. And, you know, just, you know, on the face of it, when you hear about that, you know, I can, you know, you deeply feel what, you know, I have a sense of what that's like, as does everyone here. But in a way, it was even more intense in Israel because it was more than 180 missiles in one night. And, you know, some of the worst attacks upon Ukraine by Russia are about 80 to 100 missiles over the course of a night and morning. And that's terrible. And that's brutal. But Ukraine is the largest country totally within Europe. Israel is a very small country. Could fit into Ukraine, I don't know, maybe 100 times. I didn't calculate that. But Israel is a much tinier country, and that was more missiles in one night than Ukraine sustains from Russia on the biggest Russian attacks on a country that's larger than France. Mm-hmm. And so this is so it was very intense. But then you also see that the Israelis do have this extraordinary air defense system. They have the U.S. Navy in the Mediterranean Sea assisting them and shooting down the incoming missiles. And so the damage was much less in Israel than it would be in a similar type of attack on Ukraine. But you certainly, so a few hours after that major attack, then you have the vice presidential debate and nary a word about Ukraine. It's a description of the state of our politics, but also of our media. And, you know, you saw Israeli officials released, I saw this morning, that as they sent special forces into Lebanon, in the Hezbollah tunnels in Lebanon, they found Russian weapons. Everyone here has known this for a while, Russia, even after October 7th, met with the leaders of Hamas. Russia has been close with Tehran. So for everyone here, it's clearly apparent, and it is mystifying that many Americans do not seem to understand that.
The Middle East headlines definitely pushing Ukraine back these days. But, Joseph, to your point about the importance of Ukraine, an editorial in the Wall Street Journal today, headline Hezbollah and the Russia-Iran link, and in part it says the key to European security is the relationship between the European powers and Russia. This makes Ukraine central. It is the largest wholly European country by territory, with a population of about 38 million. It's important to global production of food, oil, and fertilizer and dominates the Black Sea's northern coastline. Both Israel and Ukraine must outlast their adversaries and demonstrate their resolve to fight a long, brutal contest. That was written in part by a former deputy undersecretary of the Navy, Joe.
And it's well said. I mean, I think it's something that's easy to forget, but this is the largest territory in Europe, and although it's slowly getting smaller. I mean, Ukraine has taken more territory from Russia in that Kursk advance, the territory they took within a couple weeks that they still hold, than Russia has taken in an entire year. But still, the chipping away is happening. And for example, yesterday, and this is also a reminder of the resources of Ukraine. The little mining city that was a population of 15,000 before this big war, it's called Volhodar, which means gift of coal. Russians have been trying to take that little city for 900 days, and yesterday Ukrainian forces withdrew from it. And so the pro-Russian bloggers are making a big deal about it, but it took them 900 days to get to so-called, to liberate, as they said, this tiny place. If you look at all the photos of it, it's absolutely and totally destroyed. So it's gone. The whole place is gone. And what did Russia spend? What is the value of this? And so the positive side of it for Ukraine is that it's a tiny city that's falling. It's not Kharkiv and Kyiv, but the longer this goes on, the more of that territory is chipped away. And as our friends, the soldier musicians in the Cultural Forces, they're in Atlanta, Georgia right now. They're at the Military Influencers Conference with John Stewart. And yesterday they were at a Rotary Club in Georgia, and so many people in the southeast have suffered from that hurricane, and I think some political people are trying to contrast that with Ukraine and say why is Ukraine getting support and not the hurricane victims. But what these musician soldiers from Ukraine reported to me, there was amazing solidarity with the people who as they traveled the southeast, the people who've lost their houses, possessions, and crops, everything they want. And so instead, what we see is a strengthening on the ground of the relationship between those who suffer from the hurricane and those whose cities are being deleted by the Russians.
Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, we appreciate you keeping the Ukraine story top of mind where it should be. Thank you very much.
Thanks to you, Bob.
I appreciate
it.
Be well.